Continuing our study in Luke today, and I know it's Palm Sunday. We're not doing the triumphal entry, but we are doing a story about Jesus continuing his way to Jerusalem. So Jesus, he's still on his way going there. So I think it should count for Palm Sunday, talking about Jesus going that way. But we'll be in Luke 10, and we'll start in verse 38 and go through verse 42. So I'll go ahead and read it, and we can go into the text. Luke 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And so last week we talked about the Good Samaritan, and now we're talking about Mary and Martha and Jesus coming into their home. And I think Luke places this story here, for a pretty specific reason, because we've been following Jesus on his path to Jerusalem. And so we talked about Jesus sending out the 72 to proclaim the kingdom of God. Last week, talking about the Good Samaritan, Jesus redefined the kingdom of God as extending beyond just the nation of Israel. So the kingdom of God's going out into the world. And now today, Jesus, he's showing us another thing about the kingdom of God, and it's what it means for the people in the kingdom of God. He's explaining this is what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. And the picture that we see here is primarily about Jesus coming into our life. So belonging in the kingdom of God means Jesus comes into our life and dwells with us. Because that's really what this story is about today. We have a clear picture of Jesus. He enters into the life of Martha and Mary, and we see what happens next. And so I think this story is important for us because it paints a picture of really like what it means for us to be in the kingdom and what it means for us to have Jesus come into our life. And so if he has come into your life, I just urge you to consider what this text is teaching us. If you're not a Christian and you haven't come to know Jesus yet, I also urge you to consider what does this mean? What would this look like for you to have Jesus enter into your life, bring you into the kingdom of God? I think we can do this through looking at three questions that this text kind of prompts us to ask. So what does it look like for Jesus to come in to our life? What should we do in response? And what do we learn from Jesus as he comes in? So first question, what does it look like? So I think when we look at this text here, we sometimes miss the authority that Jesus has in this text. Because we know that Jesus, he's still with his 12 disciples. So him and his disciples are traveling towards Jerusalem. But Luke says that Jesus entered a village. So he centers it on Jesus. So Jesus enters a village. Says that Martha welcomed him into her house. And so Luke's, he's painting this clear picture that this is all about Jesus. Luke also, he calls him Lord twice in this. He says the Lord entered into her house. Martha calls him Lord, even though she's angry at him later in the text. And so we see the authority of Jesus. Not only in that, but in the fact that he just walks in and he starts teaching. He starts proclaiming his word. And so Jesus, he really just takes over as he enters into this house. He has all the authority. The story is centers on Jesus now. And this is what it looks like for Jesus to come into our life as well. So when Jesus comes in and he begins to dwell with us, he doesn't just sit quietly in the corner. All of our attention focuses on him and not on us anymore. And I think really what Luke is showing us is that instead of Jesus coming into our life, really what happens is our life comes into Jesus' life. So Jesus, when he brings us into the kingdom of God, he starts transforming our life to look like his. And we see this with Mary here. We see her come and we see her sit at the feet of Jesus. Think of this in terms of like, say you own like this small delivery business in Horn Lake or in this area. It's just like a small local business, but then Amazon buys your business, So Amazon buys it, you're owned by them now, and Jeff Bezos, the CEO or the founder of Amazon, he comes and he sets up shop in your office, and he starts working from there. It'd be safe to say that now, like Jeff Bezos, he has that authority in the office space. Even though you once owned this building, now Jeff Bezos, he's come in and he has all the authority here. So it's helpful to think kind of in those terms that Christ, when he comes into our life, he has all the authority now. He's purchased us, he's brought us in, he's a king that's coming into our house to live with us. And this, it would be bad news if this king that comes to live with us is a tyrant. So if you look throughout history, any king that abuses his power and abuses his authority turns out really bad for his people and really bad for his subjects. So it would be bad news if Jesus was a tyrant. But it's actually great news because Jesus, he's a king that uses his authority for our good. So all the power, all the authority that he has, he uses it to transform our lives for the better. And so it's actually great news that we're brought in under his authority, that we come to learn from him and his teaching. And we see Jesus use his authority to change Mary's life here. Because Mary, she comes and she sits at the feet of Jesus. She listens to his teaching. And this seems like a minor detail to us, that Mary came and that she sat at the feet of Jesus. But it would actually be really unusual during that time. And it'd be frowned upon that a woman came and began to learn from Jesus. Because sitting at the feet of someone, it meant that you were becoming their disciple. So you were becoming a follower of that person. So that's a really strong semblance of coming under discipleship, of following. And it was a role only reserved for men during this time, especially for a Jewish teacher, or like a rabbi like Jesus. Typically, only men would come and learn from him. And so when Mary comes and sits at his feet, this is a huge transformation. This is a huge move that Jesus allows her to do this. And it would have been really abnormal for them because women just didn't have this role. The role that they had is actually what Martha's doing in this story. Typically, they're responsible for hosting their guests when they come in. They're supposed to go and prepare everything, prepare all the food. And that's why Martha is so busy doing all of this. But Mary, she leaves this role that she's supposed to do, and she comes and she sits at the feet of Jesus. And so what we see Jesus doing with his authority, he's removing any cultural restraints that would bar Mary from coming to him. And so just as in the Good Samaritan parable, we see Jesus, he's saying like the kingdom's going to extend beyond this nation. He's also saying that the kingdom is going to change the culture of the people of God. He's redefining the lines of the kingdom and what it means to be a follower of God. But notice that Jesus, he doesn't change everything about this culture. So it was also a cultural practice to sit at the feet of Jesus, but he doesn't change that. The only thing he changes is the barrier that Mary has from coming to him. That's the only thing that he changes here. And this is what Jesus does for us too when he comes into our life. He doesn't say that we have to change everything about ourselves. We don't have to leave our culture or abandon these things. The only thing that Jesus changes is anything that would keep us from coming to him, from coming and learning and sitting at his feet, being taught by him. And so he comes into our life and he says, your status no longer defines you. So you're no longer restrained by the position that you're in or the typical role that you would have. He says, you're not just an employee anymore. You're not just a father or a spouse, or you're not just a kid anymore. Jesus is saying, now you belong to me. Like your life is defined by me now. This is a very freeing thing. Because Jesus, he comes in as our king, and he says, I'm your king, and you belong to me. I'm liberating you from anything that would prevent you from coming to me. So he uses his authority for our good and for our transformation. This is what it looks like for Jesus to come into your life. It means freedom. It means hope in him. So that's what it looks like. But that also leads us to the next question. So how do we respond to Jesus coming into our life? How do we respond to this transformation? How do we respond to him freeing us from anything that would prevent us from coming to him? Because in our passage, we see two different ways that Martha and Mary respond. When we look at Mary, she chooses to sit at the feet of Jesus, so she chooses to learn from him. But Martha, she chooses to host, and she chooses to serve and to be busy. And it kind of makes sense for Martha to do this if you think about that time. Like her role, her primary role and her responsibility in this situation is to make sure that Jesus is comfortable and that she's hosting him well. And so I remember growing up, anytime we would have people come over to our house, it was like, we got to start cleaning. We got to make sure they know that we have a clean house. And I was always frustrated because I was like, man, like, who cares what our house looks like when people come over? Like, can't we just hang out with them? But now, to my surprise, I'm in my 20s, and I actually care what my house looks like when people come over. I start cleaning, I start sweeping, throwing away all the Taco Bell bags that are in our living room. I'm like trying to fool people that our house is always clean. But this would have been Martha's primary job here. So like make sure like her house is ready for Jesus. It's also important to remember that it's not just Jesus. Like this story is centers on Jesus, but his disciples are most likely with them here. So these are 13 full-grown men who are weary from traveling and are hungry probably that are coming into Martha's house, and it's her job to take care of them here. And so it seems like the service would be a good thing. It seems like Martha serving them would be the thing for her to do. Because the Bible, it talks about service all the time, how we should serve our neighbor, how we should love them. And service is a good thing, but we see that the problem here is Martha's heart behind her service that she's giving to Jesus. We see that ultimately her service is more about her than it is about welcoming Jesus in. And because we can see this really in how she speaks to Jesus. She calls him Lord, so she says Lord, but then she gives him a command. She says, tell my sister to help me. So Martha, she really hasn't submitted to Jesus. She's actually asking Jesus to submit to her. She's giving him a command to help her in her service. And even the way she talks to him, she says, do you not care that my sister has left me? That you not care about the work that I'm doing? Tell my sister to come help me. And so really what she's saying is like, this is all about the service that I'm giving to you. It's about what I'm doing for you here. And so it may appear that it's for Jesus, but really her service is more about her upholding her reputation as a good host. It's more about her fulfilling her role as a host, as someone who's hospitable and needs to be hospitable. That's more so what it's about rather than her actually serving Jesus and welcoming him in. And so Jesus, he's redefined her just like Mary. Like Mary had the same responsibility too. Like Mary was a woman, and so she probably, like in that time, she should have been hosting Jesus, but instead she comes and sits at his feet, so she breaks that role. Because like I talked about, Jesus transforms us. He gives us a new identity in him. But Martha, she's still clinging to her position. She's still clinging to her status and what she knows. I think the question that we need to ask are we doing the same? When Jesus has come into our life, are we clinging to what we know, what we feel like we're supposed to do because this is culturally what we're supposed to do. This is what we're used to doing. This is even where we find our worth. Are we doing the same thing that Martha is doing? And I think an easy way to really determine this is to ask yourself this question. Like, is there something in your life right now that just you couldn't live without it? Like, it keeps you going. You know that you matter because you have this certain thing. Or you know you can get up and keep working because you're doing this certain thing. You have this certain goal. Is there anything in your life that just takes precedence over anything else? The thing that's constantly on your mind throughout the day. And a lot of the time, like I have these things aren't necessarily bad things. Like it was good for Martha to serve, right? Service is a good thing. But we can so easily twist these good things into ultimate things. Then they become bad things. When we have this idol in our heart of our service and of our performance that we do. Because like I said, Martha, she's not really serving Jesus here. She's serving herself by appearing to serve Jesus. So we can really easily disguise any of our service, our jobs, our relationships. We can disguise the service to Jesus and to others as really it being a term of self-service, an act of self-service. And I think we can all relate to the struggle. Even like, think about my job. My job is to actually like serve the church. That's what I get paid for. And it can be really easy for me to slip into, am I serving the church because I love the church, or am I serving the church because that's my job, and I need people to see that I'm serving the church. And I think we can apply that to really any aspect of our life. Are we actually serving these people that we love and that we're in relationship with? Are we actually serving them, or are we more so serving ourselves and finding our hope in our performance and our actions? And this is a dangerous road to go down, as we see here. Because at the root of this is a sense of self, this inadequacy. It's knowing that you're not doing enough. Think about Martha here. Like she knows she's not doing enough. She says, "Tell her then to help me." Like she knows that she needs help in this. And that's the difficult part that we have to deal with. And if you're a really busy person, then you kind of know this struggle. You know that there's always something else that you could be doing. And you feel the weight of just always having something to do. You have the anxiety of not achieving it, not getting it done. And it's an upsetting thought to know that no matter how hard you strive, no matter what you do, there's still going to be failure in the end. That's a really hard reality to deal with. And it leads us to have a misconception of who God is. So we see this misconception come from Martha here. She says, "Jesus, do you not care that I'm doing all of this? Do you not see me doing all this work for you?" And she thinks Jesus doesn't care because she knows that she's not doing enough. And this is what we feel when we place our hope in anything other than Jesus. We know that ultimately it's not going to be enough to satisfy us. And then we get kind of frustrated with God that he's not helping us serve this idol that we have. We know that's not enough, and we misconceive God as not caring, as abandoning us. We say, "Man, Lord, do you not care that I'm working as hard as I can at my job and no one notices? Do you not care that I've put all this time and all this effort into this friendship, this relationship that I have? Do you not care that I'm trying as hard as I can to obey you and I still fail?" That frustration, it comes from knowing that we're not doing enough here, knowing that ultimately our service in each of these areas isn't what gives us hope. And these aren't bad things, but remember, Martha placed her hope in her ability to serve Jesus rather than Jesus herself. And I think if we go deeper, we see that it's our pride that lies at the root of all of these idols. Martha, she had pride in being a good hostess here. So she had pride in fulfilling her role. And we get anxious in that because when we know that we're falling short, we know that we can't adequately live up to these expectations, that it's hopeless in the end. That when we put all of our hope in our performance, it will ultimately fail us. And we begin to wonder, does the Lord actually care? Does the Lord actually care and see what I'm doing here? And we see that he does. We see him respond to Martha in love. Because look at how he addresses Martha here. He says, "Martha, Martha." So he uses her name twice. And really, this is a sign of care. It's a sign of love to her. He's slowing down. Even though Martha has just questioned his authority, she's just questioned his love, the king, Jesus, he comes down and he addresses her gently. And he addresses her with love. He says, "Martha, Martha." It's a very tender-hearted response. And he says that he sees her frustration. So Jesus sees that she's troubled. He sees that she's anxious about not being able to do enough here, about failing in her service. He says, "You're troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary." And so he shows his love for her by pointing her in the right direction. He points her towards the good portion that Mary has chosen. He points her towards sitting at his feet. He points her to something that will not be taken away from her, no matter what happens. So Martha, she's felt all this pressure of the things that she needs to do in life. She feels her inability to do it all on her own. And all of these things feel necessary to her. She feels like she has to do these things. But Jesus says, only one thing is necessary for you. Only one thing can't be taken away from you. And it's to come to me. Come and learn from me. And this is what we need as well. Because I think we feel that pressure of all these things that we need to do in life, day to day. We just feel this pressure of work, of family, of church even. We feel all this weight of what we have to do and things that we think are necessary. But at the end of the day, Jesus, he says the same thing to us. Only one thing is necessary for us. And it's the good portion. It's Jesus himself. It's coming and it's sitting at his feet. And this is how we respond. This is how we respond to Jesus coming into our life. We come and we sit at his feet. We learn from him. We abide in him. And this is all that we need. So this is great news. But this also brings us to our last question, which is, what do we learn from Jesus when he comes into our life? So Jesus, he's shown us what it looks like. He transforms us. He enables us to come to him. We respond by coming and sitting at his feet, learning from him, finding our hope in him and not in our performance. But what does this teach us? Like, what is Jesus teaching here? And what do we learn about what it means to be in the kingdom? I think it's helpful to consider what Jesus has been teaching about so far that we've covered. Because really, the message that he's been proclaiming as Messiah is that he's bringing in a new kingdom where he's bringing good news to the poor, he's bringing liberation to the captive, he's freeing the oppressed, he's coming to heal those who are sick. So he's bringing a new kingdom, he's bringing the kingdom of God, but the way he's bringing it is by going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. That's how he's ushering in this new kingdom, is going and laying down his life. In Matthew 20, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. So think about this in the context of service. Jesus, he's not coming to Martha and Mary's house so that they can serve him. He's coming to their house so that he can serve them, not that they can serve Jesus. And this is what he's teaching us as well, that Jesus, he's accomplished everything on our behalf. He's teaching us that no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we strive, we're never going to be able to earn our place in the kingdom. No matter what performance we're putting on, no matter what we find our hope in, it's never going to be enough if it's not found in Jesus himself. He's saying, I've served you perfectly. I've called you my own. I've brought you into my kingdom. And he's saying, just come and sit at my feet. Come and learn from me. If we look at Martha sitting here, or if we look at Mary coming to sit at the feet of Jesus, we see really what's happening is Mary is relaxing. And the Bible talks a lot about sitting down. And when you sit down, it means that your work is finished. There's nothing else that you have to do. And so Mary, she comes and she sits down in front of Jesus. And so she's submitting to him. And she's also showing that the work has been done for her, that she doesn't have to keep laboring to find her worth and to find her position. But Jesus, he's still standing because he still has work to do. He's still on his way to Jerusalem to lay down his life for us. And so what it means for us to sit at the feet of Jesus is to come to submit to him and to rest in him, to rest in his work on our behalf. And this is the purest rest that we can have in life. Anything else you place your hope in, you have to work endlessly for, it can be taken away from you, and it will always let you down in the end. Whatever that is right now in your life that you're striving for, that's all you're thinking about, at the end of the day, it's not going to be enough. But Jesus, he reverses this, and he says, you don't have to work for this thing that you need. You just need to come and sit at my feet and receive me. Receive my kingdom. Trust that I've laid down my life for you, that I've brought you forgiveness, and that I've brought you love. Part of sitting down at the feet of Jesus is just the fact that we get to be in his presence, that we get to fellowship with God and have his spirit dwell within us. So this is the good portion that we receive. It's a good portion that will never be taken away from us. We don't have to worry about Jesus ever letting us down because he is faithful. And we don't have to fear losing him because his sacrifice has secured us in his love forever. And so this is a good portion that Jesus calls us to come and learn from him, learn of his love for us. We come to know him, know the Father. The church father, St. Augustine, he once prayed, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." So you don't have to keep striving for something that you can't attain. You simply have to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and receive him. He is the good portion, and he will never be taken away from you when you come to him. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just come and we praise you for Jesus. We thank you that he has served us by laying down his life for us. I just pray that you lead us to come to you, to learn and sit at your feet and receive you. I just pray that we hope in you above all else, that we don't trust in our performance, That we serve others only because you have served us first. I just pray that you equip everyone this week to rest in that, to rest in that truth, to just be filled by Christ. In your name I pray, amen.